This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Here to Stay or Gone Forever. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. During the pandemic, a lot more people have become interested in where their food comes from. And they also want to produce some of their own food. Internet searches for how to garden have gone way up. But is it really possible to produce a significant amount of food at home? Grant Hill talked to a man who thinks it's possible.
Long before all of us learned about quarantine living, there was a time when 8 people lived together in the same enclosed space without leaving for 2 years, voluntarily.
8 people, vastly different ages, 4 men, 4 women. We came together, each of us wanted to be inside, and we did it. We didn't leave.
This was Biosphere 2, a giant complex greenhouse in the middle of the Arizona desert, which mimicked different climate zones built for testing how humans might live long-term in space. In 1991, researchers sealed 8 volunteers inside Biosphere 2. The mission, survive. Grow your own food. That's where this guy comes in.
Okay, I'm John Jevons. I'm director of Ecology Action.
Up to that point, John had spent nearly 20 years popularizing an agricultural method originally developed in China called biointensive farming.
I asked a question in 1970. I wanted to know what was the smallest area you could grow all your food in an environmentally sound way, in an equitable way, so if everyone in the whole world used that approach or a similarly effective approach, that everyone could live well.
He turned his research into a book.
Yes, the book is now called How to Grow More Vegetables Than You Ever Thought Possible on Less Land Than You Can Imagine with Less Water. Oh, I better have to do this again.
It has a very detailed title.
How to Grow More Vegetables, Fruits, Nuts, Berries, Grains, and Other Crops Than You Ever Thought Possible with Less Water on Less Land Than You Can Imagine.
That got the attention of those Biosphere 2 researchers. So they tested biointensive farming. The technique prioritizes soil health in raised beds, allowing roots to grow deeper rather than wider. This way, more plants can be packed into a smaller area.
They were able to grow all the food for each of the people in there on 3,300 square feet.
That's per person per year, largely using the biointensive method. For context, experts estimate that today, the typical American diet takes over 100,000 square feet per person per year. Okay, so to be fair, one person inside Biosphere 2 did lose almost 55 pounds, and another was accused of sneaking in food from the outside. But the point is, research conducted by the University of Arizona concluded that the biointensive method was, for the most part, successful. John's method follows 8 core tenets that include composting, trench digging, and most of all, time.
So this isn't a product, it's a process. And it doesn't grow crops, though you grow crops with it. It grows complete diets.
As the pandemic took hold of the U.S., grocery store shelves looked bare, meat production facilities were linked to virus outbreaks. For many families, money got tight, and people started to rethink their food supply and their role in producing it.
Just no question that it can, you know, provide that spark to rethink about how we do things.
And that's happened before during times of crisis.
Of all the weapons the United Nations are using to win this war, food is among the most important. This, then, is a challenge to every loyal American citizen. What can we do to help win the war with food? Victory Gardens.
During both world wars, the U.S. government urged citizens to plant gardens to sustain communities all over the country, while durable goods like wheat, canned meat, and sugar were rationed and shipped off to feed troops overseas.
And the victory gardeners around the country produced about 40% of the food. So this can be used in local areas on vacant lots, on half an acre, on 2 acres, whatever, locally. And it can take care of providing employment, and it can take care of providing food.
Food insecurity is not a new issue for many communities and neighborhoods. Many cities have areas that are food deserts, where there are no grocery stores, and healthy food and fresh produce is hard to come by. Way before the pandemic, some communities took matters into their own hands through urban farming.
The neighborhood that we're working in is a 96% African American working class community that's been hit pretty hard by COVID-19.
That's Noelle Warford. She's the executive director of Urban Tree Connection, the organization behind a 3/4-acre farm in the middle of West Philadelphia called Neighborhood Foods Farm. It was built with the help of the community in 2009 on a vacant lot, and it now produces nearly 6,500 pounds of food a year. She says the pandemic really spotlights the importance of this work.
We're seeing urban agriculture across the country just be recognized in a different way, which I think sort of sheds light to many of us who've been doing this work for a long time. It also creates opportunities for people to come into the field.
Noelle thinks the increased interest in food production and independent farming is here to stay.
We're not going to return to some norm or the world that we were in prior to COVID-19. So our work is really beyond food access and really thinking about what does food sovereignty in a neighborhood look like and what does it mean for a community to have control over the production of a critical resource like food.
John Jevons hopes that with more Americans interested in playing an active role in the food chain, people will rediscover the power hidden right below their feet.
Gandhi said, "To forget how to dig the soil is to forget oneself."
That story was reported by Grant Hill.